Hello and welcome to the first ever Roots podcast, recorded live from Belfast at Roots Europe 2017. Yesterday, Nigel Mays from ASM interviewed Kenny Jacobs, Chief Marketing Officer at Ryanair, about Brexit, tourism in Northern Ireland, and why Ryanair are becoming the Amazon of air travel. Hope you enjoy it.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks, Caroline, for the quick intros. We're not going to go through the whole bio thing. It's available on the website. You can look at Kenny's background, and you can look at what he's responsible for at Ryanair. So what we're going to do is get straight into the questions, get straight into the debate. Now, it's headed up, the future of Amazon of air travel, but I know Ryanair never take the opportunity to, when you put on a soapbox, to talk about what you want to talk about.
Yeah.
So perhaps before we get to that subject, there's a couple of topics that you want to talk about. One of them being about Brexit, and one of them about Northern Ireland, which is obviously where we are at the moment.
And we're here, so it's a good place to start. And it's a great place. For those of you that haven't been here before, I hope you've had a chance to explore what is a really good city. And Northern Ireland beyond Belfast is also wonderful. But it's a place that has a history of politics getting in the way of many good things, including tourism. You know, we're at Belfast International. It's a great airport, very well-run airport. We're very happy there. We're about 1.3 million traffic this year at an airport which has 5 million traffic. We look at the 2 million international tourists who come to Northern Ireland every year, and we think that's just not enough. And three numbers that I would quote, you know, the Assembly here has agreed that 9 million sterling investment is going to be put into keeping one route from Belfast to New York, and we think this is pure vanity over sanity. There's also 4 million being made available for strategic routes in the coming years, which we think could be sensible, but also could be wasted. And there's 7 million going on the development of Derry or Londonderry, whichever way you want to call it, some of which is going to be very, very sensible. Now, all of that comes to 20 million sterling that's going to be spent on developing Northern Ireland's airports and tourism. We think this spent in the right way could more than double inbound tourism to Northern Ireland. So there's about 2 million people come to Northern Ireland every year. We think that that could be doubled to over 4 million if the right investments were made that are not politically motivated, but are motivated from what's the best way to get more tourists coming here. And the best tourists to go for are Germans, Italians, Spanish, Scandinavians, Europeans. Don't be besotted about, we've got a plane of Americans coming every day and they're going to spend a fortune. Trust me, for every American that comes here, Northern Ireland could get probably 25 Europeans to come here for every one American. And don't get excited, as many airports get excited about, but we want to have a weekly flight to Shanghai, because you could probably get 40 Europeans who come here for every Chinese national who comes here. So we think 20 million sterling is a great amount of money. We would say well done to the politicians in Northern Ireland. That's what you should be investing. But invest it in removing airport travel duty, because there's a £12 tax on every single passenger that comes into Northern Ireland, and that's complete. That's not raising enough tax revenue. And if you want to double Northern Ireland tourism, make the airports cheaper and do a big, big marketing campaign in all of Europe talking about how amazing Northern Ireland and Belfast is, and you will get Europeans to come here.
So you want more of the 20 million, basically?
Yeah, put more of the 20 million into marketing Northern Ireland and into the airports, making it cheaper for airlines to fly to those airports. Then everybody knows here, the airlines will do the rest. You know, we could be significantly bigger in Northern Ireland.
Have you got an idea of how much more or how much your passengers will spend from Germany and Italy and those other countries versus an American or a Chinese?
Well, it's what the Americans and what the Chinese actually spend, and the Europeans, it's broadly similar. So every typical tourist who comes here, whether they're North American, whether they're Asian, or whether they're from Europe, will probably spend about €250 a day. But what you'll get is more nights spent in Belfast's hotels, bars, restaurants. It's better for taxi drivers. It's better for the wider economy if you just get a higher volume of tourists coming here. That's the way the model works in any single market about Europe. Don't get hung up on, oh, we're going to get really a small number of Germans is worth more than a bigger number of Spanish and Italians. You just want as many tourists as you can possibly get. That should be the strategy of Northern Ireland tourism. Maximize the volume of inbound. We think European tourists more than anything else.
And on the APD issue, it's obviously been taken off of long haul. you'd want it taken off or reduced on short haul as
well. Yeah, I mean, like the 12 quid APD on a long haul flight costing you 1,000 kind of gets lost in the 1,000 euro fare. A 12 quid APD on an average fare of, you know, 39 euros is a big part of the fare. And what I would say again to Northern Ireland is look at what Scotland is doing. The First Minister of Scotland is actively looking to take control of travel tax in Scotland, and they are talking about removing travel tax in Scotland to make it more competitive for them to basically drive a higher number of inbound tourists to Scotland. And if that's what they're doing in Scotland, Northern Ireland should and needs to do it even more so, because the competition here for Belfast is 90 minutes down the road in Dublin. You know, there's about 2 million people from Northern Ireland use Dublin as their airport every single year. That's great for Dublin Airport, but that's a lost opportunity for Northern Ireland. So everyone with the upcoming election here should be campaigning to get control of the decision to level travel tax in Northern Ireland. Then it's up to the people of Northern Ireland to say, are they going to do it or are they going to invest in tourism?
And one day, I assume that you want to be bigger than EasyJet in a...
We want to be bigger than everyone everywhere, but look,
we're not.
We don't have any big hang-ups to say we have to beat any particular airline in any particular base. Look, we will kind of grow our capacity. I mean, everybody knows we're going to grow to 200 million annual traffic by the year 2024. We've got about 50 aircraft joining the fleet every single year. So we'll make the best choices in terms of where we put extra capacity, in terms of where it makes the most financial sense for our shareholders.
Okay, and the other subject was Brexit. Yeah. So, what's the Ryanair view?
Yeah, I mean, our view, look, we were active campaigners that Britain would stay in Europe. We think a Europe without Britain is not as good a Europe as it was with Britain in Europe, but Britain has decided to leave. Article 50 has been triggered. In the past 2 weeks, we've been actively pushing the UK government that, you know, please put the continuation of Open Skies at the top of the divorce negotiation once that divorce negotiation starts. Britain is part of Open Skies. Open Skies is governed by the European Court of Justice. The British Prime Minister has said Britain won't be part of the European Court of Justice. So a brand new solution needs to be found. It's not the Swiss solution, it's not the Norwegian solution, because they are also governed by the European Court of Justice. So both sides need to work on a brand new arrangement which continues Open Skies. We think that will happen, but the question is, when is that going to happen? Certain industries, and we think the airline industry and the free movement of people should be put at the top of the agenda, so that there isn't a big disruption to business travel and there isn't a big disruption to tourism. You know, 3/4 of British tourists who go on holidays to Europe. 3/4 of British business travel is to Europe. So it's important that travel isn't disrupted and we don't have a period of uncertainty, or we don't have a period where you can't have flights between the UK and Europe. Now, everyone will say, that's impossible. But look, we're in unprecedented territory. And this so far hasn't been a rational process. You know, Brussels and the European countries are saying, well, you're the one who wants to leave this marriage. We're going to make it difficult. And we want you to talk. We want to talk about the 55 billion you owe us before we'll talk about access to the market. London is saying, well, we want to talk about access to the market, and then we'll talk about the divorce settlement. So I think it's an emotionally charged field at the moment. I think we need to get people thinking rationally. Everybody wants open skies. Europeans want to be able to fly to Britain as they do today, and vice versa, but we have to have open skies. Now, the challenge is, we're putting together our summer 19 schedule in the spring of next year. Are we going to know in the spring of next year what the new solution for open skies is? Probably not. So I think what you're likely to see in the spring of next year is airlines, as they've done this year, between ourselves, Wizz and others, start to reduce their growth rates in the UK. We're growing in 2017 in the UK by 6%. In 2017, we grew by 12%. So we're not basing any new aircraft in the UK. And if there's a higher degree of uncertainty, while the clock is ticking this time next year, I think you'll see further capacity reductions in the UK while we have this uncertainty.
So, and you think that uncertainty is going to last even longer? I mean, now with the elections that's been called,
yeah,
they're going to have a longer term in office, whoever comes in. I assume that's going to be a longer amount of uncertainty.
Yeah, I think what's going to... Look, there's nothing going to happen in terms of real negotiations until after the German elections, which are going to take place at the end of September. So I think once you have the same or a new chancellor in position in Berlin, not until then is Europe really going to be serious about starting the negotiations. So we don't think there's going to be... Here's the solution that both sides agreed to on the continuation of Open Skies anytime soon. We will keep encouraging London and Brussels to find a solution quickly so that there isn't a big disruption to tourism. That's what every other airline is saying the same, from Lufthansa to EasyJet, and every airport should be saying the same. We don't want disruption. If there is disruption, I think it's a great opportunity for airports in the other 33 markets that we operate to get some of the capacity that we maybe were planning to put in the UK, to get some of that capacity in the coming years while we have this uncertainty.
Okay, good. Right, let's move on to the Ryanair, the future Amazon of air travel, which was a phrase that Michael had sort of come out with and used. And what we really want to know is what do you mean by it? Do you already offer car hire? You already offer the ancillary stuff on your website. Mm. So what do you mean by the future Amazon of air travel?
Amazon travel for me means three things, and it's doing what Amazon have done to the general merchandise industry, doing that to the travel industry. If you remember when Amazon started, it was simply a website where you went and bought books online, and its great advantage was they had all the books and they had them at a cheaper price than people like Barnes and Noble, Hodges, Figgis, whichever bookshop, Waterstones you shopped at. But if you look at how Amazon has changed, Amazon is now, yes, they still are probably better than anybody at selling books, but they sell everything. They also have the shop within shop concept, where you can go to your particularly favorite brand and they will have their own shop set up within the Amazon shop. When you apply that to our industry and you apply it to an airline, for me that means three things. One, that you are the go-to place for all, a variety of travel products and services beyond just flights. The second thing it means that you have the widest inventory, so you have the widest choice. You have, you know, everything that you're looking for on flights, but you also sell other things. And the third thing is that you get a very high share of the travel wallet. That's what the Amazon of travel means for me. Now, Ryanair is, since June of 2017, we're the world's most visited airline website, not just Europe's, but the world's most visited airline website. That's about 600 million unique visits to the Ryanair website every single year. So the world, not just Europe, knows about Ryanair and comes to the Ryanair website, uses the Ryanair app. What we've been doing in the past 3 years is adding more products that we sell and then taking the products that we do sell and selling them in a much smarter, data-driven way. So car hire is a great example. If you came onto the Ryanair website 4 years ago, we basically said, oh, here's a link to a separate website that sells car hire. Now we know that this is Nigel Mays. We know that Nigel is part of My Ryanair. We know that Nigel travels with us twice a year to Faro, to Malaga. We know that Nigel travels with wife and two kids. We know that when Nigel is looking for a car, he's looking for a family estate with two booster seats for the kids. And that's
we know everything. That's outrageous.
So that's the specific type of Citroen Picasso with the free child seats that we'll be selling you, rather than saying, here's a link to another website, go there if you want. So this is us using the information we have on a specific customer to sell them the specific type of car relevant to their particular trip. Now, if the same Nigel is going on a midweek business trip to Frankfurt, we will say, Nigel, do you want a 3 Series BMW? Do you want it, you know, the keys met someone to meet you with the keys at the airport when you arrive? So I think it's tailoring the right type of product to the right type of customer. That's what we've done on car hire, and it's worked very well. And that's what we've been doing with all the types of products, with the new Business Plus fare that we launched 2 years ago, with the Leisure Plus bundle that we have, and everything from seats to fast track to priority boarding to bags, really just taking all those products and connecting the right product with the right customer at the right time on the website, but even more importantly, on the app. 4 years ago, we didn't have an app. 3 years ago, we had a bad app. Now we have an app with about 20 million people in Europe using our app. It's got 5-star rating in both iTunes and Android stores. And some of our most frequent customers who are high purchasers of ancillary products, they never come to the website anymore. They just browse, book, and board the aircraft using a mobile device. And that is a huge part of what we've been doing as well.
So the Amazon Marketplace that Amazon have announced, where people can use those use their website to sell their own products, is that something that you're going to be trying to develop as well on your website? So it, you know, other entities will be able to upload their products onto your site.
Yeah, we're going to take the exact same concept and do those shops within the bigger Ryanair shop, and that will make sense for, I think, ferry companies who spend a huge amount on marketing. They could just say, well, we could get those eyeballs at a cheaper rate from the Ryanair website. I'd like you to be able to come onto the Ryanair website at some point this year and browse JFK to Cancun. And you won't be traveling with Ryanair, but it's Ryanair just becoming a destination website where you could say, I could book flights even outside of the European continent. I could book flights from Bergamo to JFK with a stopover in Dublin and do the Dublin to JFK bit with Aer Lingus. So we are going to do self-connecting flights in the Ryanair network starting with Rome Fiumicino in May of this year. We're going to do feeding traffic to other airlines, so you will be able to book later this year that specific Bergamo to JFK example with a stopover either in Rome Fiumicino or in Dublin, and that will become a reality that everyone will say, wow, that's really cool and sexy, but it's just how it operates in the US market already. And I'd love you to be able to book campsites as part of Ryanair Rooms, but also to book the ferry from Dublin to Holyhead and a variety of travel products and services. That's just us being the destination website.
Yeah, and in terms of that at the moment the Rome test is just connecting Ryanair to Ryanair. So, but taking that to connect with the other carriers, are you using a provider to provide the other schedules and the other bookings, or are you working with individual carriers?
We're working with individual carriers. Again, we want to do it in a low cost, simple, low complexity way. So when you've heard of us talking about working with Aer Lingus, for example, that would be a direct connection between Aer Lingus's inventory and Ryanair's inventory, so that we can present, and you'll just come onto our website and you'll just be able to browse Bergamo, and you'll see JFK as a new option because we're partnering with Aer Lingus.
And what about selling other tickets in other markets that don't have a connection to Ryanair? That's something that's going to be looked at as well. Could I see myself buying a Guam, Tokyo flight through the Ryanair website at some point in the future?
To take the fact that we're just, we are the world's number one most visited airline website. That means we already are a go-to destination. So I think we have the ability to sell even, as I said, JFK to Cancun or Guam to Tokyo, we can sell those flights. I don't know how many we're going to sell, and our business model isn't based on it. And this is really the cherry on the icing on the cake. Look, the key focus when it comes to ancillaries and it comes to the Amazon of travel is, for me, the numbers that I would look at every single hour are, how many seats are we selling? How many bags are we selling? How many fast track? How many priority boarding tickets are we selling? How many of the leisure plus and business plus? Those core ancillary products is really where the focus is, because a lot of those are pure margin. And if Nigel is already traveling with you, what you want to do is get him to buy a seat, put a bag in the hold, take priority boarding, buy fast track, and do all those things. Next then comes car hire, Ryanair Rooms, Ryanair Holidays, transfers, car parking, and then the tertiary set of ancillary products will be things like sun cream, a SIM card for when you're on your holidays, travel money, etc., etc.
Okay, that's great. And when they book these products, you've been launching the Ryanair Tour Operator business as well.
Yeah.
And that's very strong on the website. How's that going? How's the tour operating?
It's early days yet, but we're very happy. We launched it in the UK, Irish and German markets. We've then extended to the Spanish market about 2 weeks ago. So that's for Spanish nationals being able to book their holidays all around Europe on the Ryanair Holidays website. So I think, look, this is it's a very logical extension of so many people in Europe are going on their summer holidays with Ryanair anyway, or flights quite often were being put together by packaged operators. What we're doing now is just taking fantastic inventory from our partner W2M, and we're combining that with their own flights and selling you those packaged holidays ourselves.
And at the moment, it's not about the in-resort product. You're not going to go down the line the way Jet2, where they've got people, reps in resorts and all those sorts of things, or is that something that might come later on?
No, I've just come back from a week in Lanzarote, and just seeing Jet2 operate at the particular resort I was staying at, I think they do a fantastic job. I think for the classic packaged holiday for people in Britain, and particularly the north of Britain, and I lived in Manchester, and they do a fantastic job out of Manchester Airport. I think a lot of what they do is a very good way to do it for people from the UK. Other German operators do it the way Germans want it. So we'll always keep an open mind and say, what are those guys doing that we think are good? I think consumers, they need different things. I think when you arrived on your 2-week holiday to Lanzarote and you came off the plane and you had someone holding up a sign you probably don't need that the way you did in the past. People almost want to be able to say, well, I don't want to go on the bus with everyone that goes around to 8 different hotels before it gets to my hotel. But they do want a bit of help at the resort. Another great service that people are looking for, and Jet2, to be fair, are doing this, they are collecting the bags at the resort before you even head to the airport. So we'll keep an open mind and look at what different competitors are doing, but we want to do it in a low-cost, straightforward pay way for people who know how to do their own package holiday.
Isn't this adding complexity to your business model was always about being ultra low cost, being simple, stripping out all the ancillary costs. Isn't this ultimately going to end up building costs into your business?
You're right, and it's a question that we always ask. I think, look, Ryanair, we're absolutely focused on costs, but we're also very focused on keeping our focus on what we do well and not getting too distracted by too many shiny new things. I think there's a lot of businesses now, a lot of airlines are saying, oh, we have this great digital plan, but you have to do it in the right way. So we are doing it in a way that doesn't mean we take our eye off the ball in terms of being, you know, awesome on costs and having the best airport deals and really growing the traffic and the load factor the way we have been. Always Getting Better has guided the changes that we've made in Ryanair very well for the past 4 years, and it will continue to guide us. But we will keep our focus on the business as it is today, the ruthless operation that we run, and we won't get too distracted, and we will try to do things in a low cost and low complexity way. But I think that's helping with digital. Like, I remember when I started this job, people were saying, well, you should hire a load of people at the airports to help customers at the airports. That would have been a crazy thing to do because it would have added a load of cost. But customers don't want that. More and more, we're seeing what we're doing in the app is we're allowing you to self-serve yourself. So if there is flight disruption because French air traffic controllers are on strike, we're giving you now the ability to change your flight and take a refund in the Ryanair app. And that's much better because customers essentially, they'd prefer to not have to go to a customer service desk, join a queue to talk to someone where there's a risk of misunderstanding. They just want to do it themselves online. So I think digital is providing ways that you can really innovate but do so in a low complexity, low cost way.
And do you think you've embraced the digital side of the business and you've done it in a good way? I've been to your offices. I see that all the geeky kids are in a separate wing at the office. I assume they're all wearing trainers and cool T-shirts and got long hair. But that's kind of set aside from the rest of the business. Has that been a good thing? Has it enabled them just to get on to it and stop all the other, the us old gits in the other side of the business going, oh, you can't do that.
I know who you're talking about. I think, look, it's worked well for us. I think no one would have thought that Ryanair would have a team that we have in Ryanair Labs, which has now, you know, got people from a variety of different backgrounds. We've hired people from Google, from Paddy Powers, and very, very digital businesses. Now, they've come to work for us, and they love working for us because they are working on probably one of the most exciting digital transformations, not just in the airline business, but in any business. And look at how it's worked so far. It has worked extremely well. 4 years ago, we didn't know our ass from our elbow when it came to digital. And now a lot of the analysts who cover the sector would say, actually, Ryanair are the ones to follow in terms of making the right moves and how they're doing digital. And I think that has worked really, really well. That team is integrated, and it's quite part of the Ryanair organization because we didn't want to have two Ryanairs. We do consider it's one Ryanair team. Now we have Ryanair Labs in Dublin, Rocklaw, and we'll soon have it in one other European location. And it's working, as I said, very, very well, as judged by the conversion rates that we're seeing and in terms of the progress that we've made in ancillary. And remember, we're guiding that ancillary revenue will go from being 20% of our revenues to 30% of our revenues in a 5-year time frame. So far, so good, and along with that continue. And it's Ryanair talking about doing things in a way that we didn't do before. 5 years ago, we said, you'll never see us fly to Frankfurt, Schiphol, Hamburg, all of these airports. And now we're saying, look, we'll just never fly to Heathrow.
Yeah.
And every other airport is a possibility. And I think, Ryanair at Frankfurt and Maine in particular, it shows you how the industry is changing. And 2017 is the first year where low-cost airlines will have over 50% of the intra-flying within Europe. Yeah. So the momentum is now with the low-cost airlines in terms of intra-European capacity. I think the momentum is coming back to the airlines when it comes to digital. Every airline was reckless with their digital. They kind of said, well, distribution is mostly done through the GDS guys, and I'm quite happy to pay people like every online OTA site to send traffic to my website. That was a bad move. And over 95% of the traffic to our website comes direct. And that's what every airline should be looking for. You want to own the customer, and you don't want to be paying anybody for traffic to your website. So we now view digital as a kind of a key part of the strategy of the business. It's a key driver for growth. And look, it's put 20, on average, 20 extra people on every single Ryanair flight in a three-year period, which is pure profit.
So do you measure the success of it, not just in the ancillary revenue, but also in the passenger volumes that you've driven addition to it?
We're looking, we would measure the success of it by the traffic growth that we've had. And, you know, we've gone in a three-year period from an airline of 80 million traffic to 120 million traffic. That's 50% growth in our traffic in 3 years. And we've grown our load factor from 80% to 94%. And then I would look at it in terms of how many of our customers are taking the plus bundle fares that we have, how many customers are taking the ancillary products that we have, and also things like, you know, we've now got 20 million people using the app, we've overtaken Southwest as the world's most visited airline website, and we've now got over 20 million people signed up to My Ryanair. That's in a one-year period, we've grown the membership of My Ryanair, and that gives us the data that we use on our customers. That's now bigger than Tesco Club Card in Europe.
Wow. So there's a lot of airports in the audience. Do you think they should be doing the same thing? Coming back to this nasty question about who owns the customer, is it the airline or is it the airport? What's your view on that?
I think it's more the airline than the airport, and I think a lot of OTAs will say no, we own them as well. But look, let everyone have a view that we all own them, and may the best person win. And customers will judge that by the way they're going to download apps and the way they're going to sign up to different membership programs. I think I see a lot of airports doing very good things on digital. If I was running an airport, and I don't run an airport, I would say absolutely have fast and free Wi-Fi, because it will just get people at your airport doing stuff at your airport, and I think that's quite good. I probably wouldn't say I'm going to have an amazing app that they're all going to download and use. Because I don't think customers will do that much. But I would say, look, invest in some of the right things, but definitely do Wi-Fi, but also get the balance right. I think airports in Europe still need to work on security, and it doesn't matter how good your coffee shops are and how fast your Wi-Fi is, if the security experience is bad at your airport, customers will still say, I just hate that airport. And we see a lot of very good airports with very bad security. And I would probably call out German airports, which I think are wonderful airports, but quite often the security part, going through security at German airports is probably the worst than it is anywhere in Europe, while German airports are generally wonderful. And I would say to those German airports, work with the federal states and work with the states and who run airport security to make it a less intrusive procedure. And you'll literally see people going through airport security in Germany and say, right, well, I just want to get in the plane and get home. So I think work on the right things. Don't just work on digital because it's cool and sexy. And I think look at what the airlines are doing, and don't look at what American airports are doing, but probably look to what Asian airports are doing more than anything else.
Okay, we've got a few minutes remaining, and we've got some questions from the audience. So let's pick up on some of these. This is a good one. Why is Ryanair starting a charter airline, and why is it going to be in Poland?
Because I think Poland as a country and as a consumer economy, the way it's developed, if you look how Polish people used to travel, and we say this because we know it quite well because we're the number one in the market, that was essentially about, you know, connecting the big Polish diaspora in places like Ireland, places like the UK, back to Poland. Now, a number of years later, you have a very much emerged Polish middle class that are big holiday takers, and they're starting to go on holidays to Lanzarote and all those places that the Brits, the Irish, the Germans have been going to for years. So we see that as a good opportunity, and we can do that under Ryanair Holidays, but we can also say, look, it's a good opportunity if you can do it as a charter business. So we just think it's a market that needs more choice, and we're happy to provide more choice in this situation under Ryanair Sun as a new charter business.
Okay, but why was it chosen to do it as a separate business almost rather than just, you know, just offering seats to tour operators on the existing network? You just say you're already so big in Poland.
We could do that, or we could just say, no, we want a bigger piece of the charter market, and you can run a charter business in a different way than you would run an airline. Look, we're awesome at, you know, running a scheduled airline, and it's back to that focus and not adding complexity. We would say, no, we want to keep Ryanair as the scheduled airline, but if we have a charter business, we can run it like a charter business and market it like a charter business and do it that way instead.
So has it got its own management team and its own?
Yes. I think we've announced that we have hired already some of the key management positions, and I think you'll see that kind of ramp up in the year ahead.
Okay. Good. What is the benefit of virtual interlining, self-connect for Ryanair, like was done with Kiwi.com?
Like was done with...
with Kiwi.com.
So what was the question?
What is the benefit of virtual interlining and self-connect for Ryanair?
Well, the benefit of allowing customers to do that themselves on our network.
Yeah. Okay. Is it more just about growing volumes? I think
it's look, it's probably the number one thing that's been asked by customers of us for the past number of years. People would have been traveling and connecting at a Ryanair airport, but having to go back out through security and start the whole process again, and they were saying, I've left one of your flights and I'm going on one of your flights. Why can't I just do? Why can't I just connect like I do with other airlines? So we've said, okay, we're going to do something about it. The benefit for us is I think it will get more people flying with us more often, and it will just take away some of the hassles that are there for customers. You know, if you want to go from Edinburgh to Catania, and we don't fly Edinburgh Catania, but we will say, well, you can go Edinburgh Stansted, just connect onto the next flight at Stansted, get to Catania, and your bags will be there at the carousel in Catania. So it's just responding to a natural request from customers. The benefit for us will be, I think, yes, there'll be higher volumes, and we'll see no customer say, well, I'm going to go with another airline because I can't do what I want to do with Ryanair.
And how much of it is, how much is the consumer protected by you if things go wrong? So if the flight goes wrong, or the bags don't?
The consumer will have full protection, and we are going to keep the windows of connection wider than other airlines. So other legacy carriers will allow you to connect with a 45-minute window. We're not going to let, you know, it'll be about 2.5 hours with us, and bear in mind that 90% of our flights are on time. So we think it's going to be, you know, a very, very, very small instance of risk that one flight will be delayed, causing a customer to be impacted. And if they are, we'll you know, that's fully covered under EU 261.
Okay, this is a good one. Given that World Routes is going to be in Barcelona later on this year, are more tourists always good for a destination? Would you say this for World Routes host Barcelona, for example?
I absolutely would, and I'm personally very passionate about Barcelona as a place because I think it's absolutely bonkers what the mayor of Barcelona has done, because he's basically outlawed the construction of any more hotels in Barcelona. All that's going to happen, and you already see this if you go onto any website looking at hotel prices in Barcelona, Barcelona hotel prices are going to go up, and tourists eventually are going to say, well, Barcelona's just an expensive place. What they should be looking to do is develop wider Catalonia. Catalonia is an amazing place, and Barcelona is an amazing city, and they've done an amazing job of marketing Barcelona since they've had the Olympics. But they should be talking about Girona, they should be talking about Tarragona, they should be talking about those other places in Catalonia that are wonderful to visit, and they should be talking about getting more tourists into Reus and Girona airports and keep Catalonia tourism growing and not just saying, oh, there's too many tourists coming to Barcelona.
Okay, great. I think that's covered the majority of the questions and the time is up. Unless there's anything else, anyone's got a burning question. I've got one more, and while anyone thinks of anything else, it's interesting to hear about all the ancillary stuff and it's like adding of complexity to your model. Are there things, you know, what's going to be next? Is it, AirAsia have started offering lounges, you've got your competitors that are offering premium economy. Are all these things being looked at, or any of these things a definite no? You think, no, we're not going to be...
I would, but there's nothing that's a definite no, other than Heathrow. but I would say you always keep an open mind. Do I see you going into a lounge that says, welcome to the Ryanair lounge, and having a gin and tonic and sitting in front of a computer that has free connectivity? No, because I think it's just passé. And if you talk to business travellers, they're not sat in lounges for 3 hours on short-haul, waiting for a short-haul flight anymore. Do I see a piece of plastic called the Ryanair loyalty scheme? No, I don't. I don't think you need it. With over 20 million people in My Ryanair without a loyalty scheme giving you free points for a car share, jet washer, or a set of golf clubs, I don't think you need it anymore. And I think these are the trappings of old school kind of legacy carriers more so than a modern digital airline. So I don't see a lounge use, I don't see a loyalty scheme, but I would see us doing interesting things with My Ryanair that I think are better than a traditional loyalty scheme. Other than that, anything is possible, and we keep a very open mind. We look more at retailers than we look at other airlines. I don't look at any other airline's website in Europe and say, ooh, that's what we want to do. I think Southwest have a good website, and they do some cool things. I think Air Asia do some nice things in their website. But when it comes to what we'll sell and how we'll present that on the Ryanair website and in the Ryanair app, we're more looking at what people like ASOS and Amazon are doing rather than any other airlines. And we'll keep a very open mind in terms of what I think we could sell.
Okay. Actually, I lied. I've got one more, which is another question that I liked. Is, do you think that one of your biggest competitors in the future will actually be another digital business as opposed to an airline? So will it be an Amazon or an Alibaba that'll be coming into your...
I absolutely think we have to be prepared for that. Alibaba have a product called AliTrip, which is already one of Asia's most used online travel agents. And I'm amazed Amazon haven't done the same in the US, and I think they must be working on that. Google have big eyes on the space, but I think they're going to run into some regulatory and trust issues as they try to get into the travel space. But I think if we fast forward 10 years' time, you're always going to have Priceline Group. I think Google are going to be bigger. I think Amazon will join Alibaba as big travel brands. I think you're absolutely going to have Ryanair.com there. And then a bunch of the me too smaller niche OTAs will just be gone out of business because people will say they're just too small and I can't get everything I'm looking for. So I think you'll see big, big disruption. And I think about half the players that exist in the digital online travel space will be gone in the next 5 to 10 year period. And then some airlines will be good at digital and others won't be good at digital, and they'll probably be selling their product on our website.
Brilliant. Well, I was slightly sceptical about the future of Amazon of the air travel industry. I thought it was kind of Ryanair might be just sort of trying to associate itself with a consumer champion. But I think you've proved me wrong today. It sounds like there's a lot of new stuff, a lot of different things that are going on. And it sounds like exciting times for your digital side of Ryanair. So thank you very much, Kenny, for your insight. If everyone can show you appreciation, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thanks, Major.